Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Mr. Number 337. Excerpts for me. G. White messages found in the newly discovered collection. I prize her society, and no other one can fill her place to us. She is a dear, precious child to me. Her worth cannot be estimated by its weight in gold. She is my twin sister indeed in Christ. We must see you without fail. Now do not delay coming. God has united you with us, and so do not be induced to go contrary to his providence. We want you to come at once if possible. We want to care for you while you are poorly. We shall have the best girl that we can find to do our work, and shall have a small family. Rosetta, Lucinda's sister, will stay here some weeks and longer if it is your judgment. We wish to see you and consult with you, but we don't want you to do a stroke of work but just be a lady for once in your life. We know what you sacrificed and with what cheerfulness for the truth's sake. God is acquainted with every sacrifice you have made, and you will certainly be a sharer in the eternal reward to the true faithful workers. If we get any reward, you will most surely. My precious Lucinda, you are dearer to me than any earthly sister I have living. May the blessing of God and his peace abide upon you is my most earnest prayer. We have just weighed our nameless one. He weighs 12 pounds and a half good weight. He is fat and healthy. The small clothes we made for him can but just touch around him. I have felt so lonesome that I could not prevent 2 or 3 crying spells. I improve this opportunity while the yet nameless one is asleep. Send him a name. My back is weak and I am so lame I cannot get around much. I went upstairs once on my knees to get these things together for the poor. I have a long cry now and then it does me good. I feel better afterwards. They have rented their house down street and pay only 50 cents a week for winter and 75 in summer. We shall have to get up a little sewing bee for Sarah. I rode out to Jonestown. Brother Van Horn and Ellen Lane accompanied me. We had a special prayer for Cyrus. I have visited Father Norton and prayed with him. He is much broken. Visited Brother Gardiner and prayed with him yesterday. I have worked before day and after dark every moment I could get to arrange the children's clothing. It is my wish that the children study and write some each day. If they improve their moments, they can acquire considerable knowledge of the sciences so that when they shall attend school in the winter they will not be behind children of their age. If the children have a purpose and a will, they can advance in knowledge daily. If they really want to learn, they need not depend upon excitement of school to stimulate them to obtain an education. If the children would practice in writing, following closely the copy books and making use of the instruction they have had in writing, they can by practice become good writers. But patience is required in this, as well as other things. This skill of writing correctly will not come to them without an effort on their part. If the moments were employed by the children in study that they spend in reading with no particular object in view of benefiting the mind, of obtaining useful knowledge, very many could obtain a good education without ever entering a schoolroom. Our little girls are just as good as they can be. We enjoy their company very much. I have cut out, for May, a dress of that light plaid. Mary Sawyer has finished up my purple dress. We now have the house all carpeted, every room except the halls. I have carpeting for these halls and about ready to put it down. I am getting sewing done up, have made sheets and pillowcases, and my clothes are in good order. James says I must have this go at once. We'll close up. We have just got the house furnished and settled. Everything is comfortable. We have a nice warm room at the head of the kitchen stairs with a stove in it. There is a fire built in it on nights and mornings that the children may dress by it. It is nicely carpeted with a new pretty carpeting and makes a very nice sleeping room. We have plenty of apples and potatoes in the cellar for winter and were never so comfortably situated as now. I wish you would send a slip of snowballs and a trumpet vine. Your mother is real smart and cheerful as a bird. I heard a great rumpus yesterday in the dining room, laughing and protesting. I found out your mother was washing dishes. Rosette had got her round the waist and called Lily, who took her feet, and they tugged her and put her on the lounge, and she was so overcome with laughter and they too it was difficult for them to explain to me their mischief. When I went to Battle Creek I had to labor hard and I was quite exhausted and, on my way to Ohio, took cold and although suffering with hoarseness spoke 3 times, at the Ohio camp meeting, to about 3,000 people. This about used me up. I could not talk for a day or two even in private conversation. But today on the Indiana campground I spoke for the first time this afternoon. Letter 69, 1874. 2. Dear Lucinda, September 25, 1874. I have a special work at this time to write out the things which the Lord has shown me. I have felt that I must neglect everything to get out these writings. I have not attended meetings for 2 weeks. While Elders Wagoner and Loughborough are here, I let them do the work, and I keep all my strength for one purpose to write. I have a work to do which has been a great burden to my soul. How great, no one but the Lord knows. Again, I want time to have my mind calm and composed. I want to have time to meditate and pray while engaged in this work. Oh, Lucinda, I do love Jesus. He is so near, so precious to me. Oh, pray for me, Lucinda. Pray that heavenly wisdom may be given me. I want to make every move in God. I want this work got out right. I must do this work to the acceptance of God. I am working to the very extent of my strength, and my prayer is for the Lord to help strengthen and bless me in this work. He does do this, or I could not do what I have done. My spirit yearns after God, and I dare not trust to myself at all. The cause of God is a part of us. Our experience and lives are interwoven with this cause. We have had no separate existence. It has been a part of our very being. The believers in present truth have seemed like our children. When the cause of God prospers, we are happy. But when wrongs exist among them, we are unhappy and nothing can make us glad. The earth, its treasures and joys, are nothing to us. Our interest is not here. Is it then strange that my husband with his sensitive feelings should suffer in mind? Lucinda, how apt we are to look to ourselves trying to hunt up some worthiness in us to make us acceptable to God, or else to bemoan that lack of worthiness we are so anxious to find. Jesus invites us to come just as we are, although polluted with sin. We cannot make ourselves better. It is more pleasing to God for us to come to Him just as we are in our helplessness, in our hopelessness, and cast ourselves upon His mercy, upon His worthiness. Our necessity will then be God's opportunity. We lack living, abiding faith. When clouds surround us, we are apt to sink under the cloud instead of laboring to have our faith alive amid the darkness and gloom. Oh, let us not distrust God, but venture out. Trust, trust, forever trust. How important that we maintain our separate distinction from the world. But it is a fearful fact that we as a people are losing our simplicity and the marks of our peculiarity. We cannot honor God while mixed up with the world, following their fashions and customs. Oh, that God would impress upon His church the necessity of unity of action and activity, and great care to maintain our elevated position. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. He will not refuse or delay to give any counsel or support necessary for our continual advancement when we receive it and improve it. It was not the good pleasure of God that the children of Israel should wander so long in the wilderness. God would have brought them directly to promised land if they had loved to have been led by Him. And because they so often and so many times grieved Him in the desert, He swore in His wrath they should not enter into His rest, save those two that wholly followed Him. A greater than Joshua is in the midst of God's people to lead them to victory if they will submit to be led. All power in heaven and earth is committed to the captain of our salvation. He has said for our encouragement, "Lo, I am with you alway," and "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Dear friends, the warfare is before us. The work which God gives us to do, He is able to accomplish by us. If we fail of obeying God, the promise of God cannot be fulfilled to us. Oh, let us unitedly seek God and follow in a course of strict obedience.